Thursday, December 1st, I left for New York on the shuttle at 11 with my ubiquitous Mexican straw bag, signed a large stack of pictures for Christmas to the staff during the 40 minutes flight, and read my little speech over a couple of times. And then, arriving at LaGuardia with about 30 minutes more time than it took to get to Mary's house, we drove along, found a quiet stopping place, and I finished autographing the pictures with a sigh of relief and had that basket full of work laid by. I was at Mary's beautiful home a few minutes before 1. Color is queen there, in the paintings, the flowers, all the beautiful appointments of the house. Walls, rugs, and drapes are mostly a soft, elegant white, the perfect foil background for her collection of Monet, Matisse, Picasso, Brigitte, Rouault, even some Corots, Marc Chagall's. Such a wealth of beauty. We sat in the lovely sitting room, and three of the walls are glass, and look out on the river. And I listened to Mary and Liz and Nash, Lawrence Rockefeller and Henry Diamond talk about the coming year and what we could each do about conservation beautification. Mary has a bold idea for me doing a TV show about the cities, good things being done in certain cities, Fresno, California, the mall, the waterfront in Louisville, Kentucky. And of course, Hartford would no doubt be in it. It is a mammoth undertaking, and I think nobody flinches more than me, unless it's the two networks, you might ask. Once we were lucky with my ABC show on Washington. I can't face trying it again. Lawrence and Diamond had just come from a two-hour talk with Governor Nelson Rockefeller, hearing his plans for parks and recreation in the coming year. He has certainly been bold about it. I think we all sense that we've reached a kind of a plateau. We need impetus, something to keep the ball rolling, the excitement mounting. We talked about the need to get more understanding, cooperation, more enthusiasm from the highway department for the use of the funds, small though they are, for beautification. It was 3:30 when Liz and I left and went to the lovely retreat of the Carlisle. I always feel that it's the Tower of the Princes. I read and rested, and then Linda came in. I'd called Mary and Mac George Bundy. They came over and had a drink with us. And the four of us in the beautiful living room looking out on the lights of New York had a happy half hour. There's no doubt that man has met job in this wedding of Mac George Bundy and the Ford Foundation. I told him about my trip to Los Baños, the delicious line which Lyndon had summed up Asia and its problems, and his goodbye to Dr. Chandler, the head of the Rice Institute. He'd said, quite cheerfully, "Well, Dr. Chandler, you just keep on producing better strains of rice. Margaret Sanger's folks keep on doing what they're doing. This old world might be saved yet." Lyndon has a remarkable way of synthesizing a mass of problems in one sharp sentence, and often funny. Max said if he had just to choose one project from all the Ford Foundation's beneficences, Los Baños would be his favorite. I had my hair done high on top of my head, put on a lovely gold dress that Molly Parnas had made for me, from fabric that I believe Ayub Khan had given me. A little after 6:30, Liz and I fared forth for the plaza for the awards dinner for the National Institute of Social Science. This organization of leading industrialists has for 50 years been giving an award for distinguished service to humanity to a rather varied group of winners, 4 or 5 or 6 each year. Lustrous names in diverse fields. I'd read them very impressed months ago when I was trying to decide whether I could firmly accept. Frank Pace met me, all smiles and warm phrases. We went to the manager's office, where there were the other winners. Keith Funston, president of the New York Stock Exchange, and Cardinal Spellman, and General David Sarnoff, a surprise to no one, and dear, funny Danny Kaye. There were innumerable pictures, all together, two of us at a time, with the gold medal, and quite handsome it was. And then, in another room, we met, not in the receiving line, rather casually, a group of the members of the National Institute of Social Sciences. I gather it was sort of the old-timers, or board of directors. I was impressed and grateful. How many of them spoke to me quite earnestly of my small work in conservation beautification. I knew I was meeting a great tapestry of New York, its power structure. Unfortunately, I couldn't identify the strands, the threads, although in print many of the names I recognized. They ranged from Charles Lindbergh and Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick, Eva LeGallien, and Mrs. August Belmont, and Arthur Hayes Sulzberger. We had a delicious dinner of too much, beginning with lobster bisque, and very rare prime ribs, and ending with Cherry's Jubilee. Vast change from the ranch. and Mary's simple good cooking. And then it was time for the citations. Frank had put me first. I think likely it was Lizzie's suggestion. And how glad I was, because that meant I could enjoy the rest of the evening. And from a theater standpoint, it was the best thing to do, because mine was the least impressive speech. And I regretted it, because I had worked on it. Taken the first draft, which was a beautiful bunch of words, and turned it into something personal, painting two pictures of what I had seen in my own front yard.
One,
the mood of that night in October 57, when we heard that the Russians had put Sputnik 1 into orbit. The mood of colossal, impossible obstacles facing us. A stunned silence. And then, only 9 years later, in my own front yard, the ceremony of giving awards to the astronauts and scientists and industrialists who had brought the Gemini program to successful conclusion. Now we had 430 satellites in orbit. So man can. And that was a spirit that I wanted everybody to have as we faced the seemingly insurmountable obstacles of our crowded, ugly, traffic-ridden cities and what to do about them. They gave me a nice moment of applause, and I sat down vastly relieved and listened to some good speeches. Keith Funston was handsome, suave, competent, and intentionally humorous in his talk about the handling of money. A skillfully read speech. And then General David Sarnoff, who read his also, talked about the vast technological achievements of this century and the perilous gap that lies between them and our ability to get along with each other and to spread the fruits of those advances to all the Earth's people. It was a marvelous line. In most of the world, life is still an Earth-packed floor, an empty bowl, and a premature death. What a bare-bones sentence, and how strong. When he sat down, I congratulated him on it most earnestly, and he gave me the copy of his speech. And then next, there was Danny Kaye, and he didn't read a word. He simply talked from the heart, impassioned, humorous, charming, about the world's children, about UNICEF. It was a dear speech. He is a giving man. I was feeling a little apprehensive. They hadn't closed the evening with Danny Kaye, that Cardinal Spellman was still to come. I needn't have been. He topped us all. Like Danny Kaye, he read not a line, and with the assurance of his years and great humor, he told us about his attempts to be a chaplain, and then about his visits to troops, wherever they were, across the seas at Christmas time for the last many, many years. I think it's about 13. He said that he would be going to Vietnam in 2 weeks for still another Christmas. It was a warm, touching, delightful close to the evening, and I particularly enjoyed it as a contrast to the open-air, non-competitive, that is, intellectually, and for me only, life at the ranch. A sharp, interesting evening. It was nearly 11 when I said goodbye to all of my fellow winners and to all the members of the Institute that I could shake hands with as I left, to Frank Pace, who took me to the door, and returned to the Carlisle. Linda Bird was not spending the night with me. She'd gone out with the MacGeorge Bundys to have dinner and then go to a play with someone else. So I read myself to sleep at the close of a good day. I was really proud of that citation. She had increased our awareness of our land's resources and whetted our pride in the splendid settings of our national heritage. But of course, its real usefulness was in keeping beautification conservation before the public, a prod to everybody to work in that direction, a pat to those that have been working for so long.